Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Common Sense Conversations. This is the Black Gunslinger series. Welcome, everybody. And I just want to bring everybody in, make sure everybody feels comfortable. Hope you got your range bag, your gun, your targets, your gun oil, all of that good stuff that you're going to need for today. Because tonight we're talking about training and what it takes to get into that habit, that mentality, especially for you first-time gun shooters who are looking for a range, who may be looking for an instructor. It's a very interesting world we live in as gunslingers, we don't like to use the term lightly, but the fact of the matter is the fact that we have to get out and we have to train. Once you buy that firearm, you now have to do what we all try to tell you to do. Get some training. It's not a hard thing to do. It's just something that needs to be done on a regular basis. And we are encouraging everyone to do that. But not just do it, but how to do it, and give you some quick pointers and suggestions. So joining me tonight, as usual on the Gunslinger series, is Will the Gunslinger. How you doing, sir?
I'm good, man. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing all right. I can't complain. It's late night. I know you. If you're like me, you just came from the range, right?
I actually went yesterday.
Oh, you went yesterday. Okay. See?
Yeah.
Somebody got it in yesterday. Okay. Cool. So We're going to get into this series, and we're going to talk about a few things. And, you know, there is a downfall to this, and I won't even say the best way to see it is a downfall, because you can't see what some of the things that we're talking about. So hopefully we'll transition into some live stream videos so you can start seeing what we're talking about, and you can get some pointers, some visual pointers as to what to do and how to go about doing it. But if you want to be a part of tonight's show and you have a question or two, you want to call in, the call-in number is 516-418-5878. Again, that number is 516-418-5878. You can call in, ask questions, and we'll be more than willing to answer those questions and hopefully put you on the right path to getting out and being that type of person who trains on a regular basis. So I just want to, you know, a lot of people will, when we're talking about training, a lot of people don't realize, you know, they have this misconception of firearms being very, very dangerous. But if you go and you train on a regular basis, it's not, you know, something that could be considered a dangerous hobby. It's, you know, you're training, you're learning, you know, a practical skill that allows people, everyday people, the chance to sharpen those fine motor skills, learn how, you know, better concentration, dealing with, especially with hand-eye coordination and certain other areas like that. But it also gives you the ability to defend yourself, learn how to properly defend yourself with this new tool that you have, this firearm that you purchased because you said this is what you want to do, and this is what how you plan on defending yourself and your family. So again, you know, I guess that's going to be our mantra, is train, get trained. And so basically, you know, you always want to tell somebody, you know, find a training program, find a good training program. So I guess we can also finding a good instructor as well, if you have that opportunity to. So, you know, and having said that, you know, I guess we could start with, well, I'm going to approach you, you know, like I'm not, you know, I'm brand new to the game, and we do it, and we can answer some of these questions that we even had, you know, in the description of the show. As far as, you know, like I said, it's just not enough to own a firearm, but at some point you need to train. And like anything else, you have to familiarize yourself with the tool. So having to ask that, I'm going to ask you, you know, if I'm coming down to it, and what's the general question that you think most people have when we ask that question? What do you think of when it comes to firearm training? Because I know that was the question that, you know, you posed, and I want to start out there and answer those questions that we had in the description. So when it comes to training, think of as a person who trains on a regular basis, and maybe we can answer the question, what do we possibly think of going back to the days when we didn't train? What do we think, you know, and what do we think of the people that did train? So let you start out with that.
Okay. So you had cut out a little bit. You were talking about the first question, what do I think of when I think of training?
I was saying, you know, just answering the questions that we posted. You know, you came in with the questions and you were asking the questions, what do you think of when you train, or when you hear the word training or think of training? And I said, from your perspective now, where you are now, giving that idea of what training is to you now versus, and then coming back, when you come back and we both can kind of talk about what, you know, before we got into training on a regular basis, what that looked like prior to, and maybe what we thought of the people that talked about training, if we knew anybody that trained like that.
Okay. So I'll talk about when I first got into it. My idea of training was just going to the range, a static range. But for those that don't know, static range is just the range where you don't move. You just stand in the lane and shoot the target. And that was my idea of training when I first got into it. And so I was like, yeah, I'm training because I would go to the range. When I first got into it, I would go to the range like every week. You know, I was at the range every week. And I'm like, yeah, I'm training. And then as time went on and I learned more, I'm like, oh, I wasn't really training at all.
Yeah.
And now when I look at training and what it is, I see that I was kind of unaware at the time when I first got into it. I was kind of unaware of what it meant to train. And in response to your question about what did I think about people that talked about training, like I said, I was brand new, so I just thought, oh, they're just they're trying to be Rambo and stuff like that, you know. But now I'm like, no, I should have taken it seriously way back then. I take it serious now, but I should have taken it serious back then.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm at now. How about you?
Yeah, and for me, it's pretty much the same thing. Before you really get into it, before I became an instructor, before the gun club, I would go, and like you said, static range, and you stand in the stall, you shoot, you know, you hit a couple of rounds on the target, you shoot a couple, you know. Back then it was nothing. You just shoot and you're like, oh, okay, yeah, I got it. It wasn't until I got into gun club and got into starting a gun club and trying to get that off the ground, and then getting into doing, you know, then I got into the basic pistol course and becoming an instructor. It was like, wow, okay. I'm watching these guys do these drills, and they're running, the term running gun, you know, they're literally running with the gun and they're shooting and they're hitting, you know, and then you hear the terms like plinking and you're like, what is a plinking? And you find out, you know, it's just basically putting rounds on a steel target and it makes that little plink sound. Then I was like, wow, okay, that's training. I've seen extreme training, like guys in the cold weather training with cold hands and learning to you know, make adjustments in the cold, like shooting strong hand versus weak hand versus shooting with two hands. It was like this litany of different types of training and how to train. And, you know, at first it was like, this is crazy. These dudes are outrageous. But then it made sense when you start thinking about the idea of, okay, what if something should happen to your strong hand while you're shooting, you know, your dominant hand, and you can't get to that? What happens then? What happens if, you know, and you have to use your weak hand? So learning to shoot then, practicing with a holster, learning to practice with the holster, learning to practice with the holster that you carry on a regular basis, learning to practice from, drawing from your backpack, using your backpack as a defensive weapon, because a lot of people don't realize you have to learn how to use what you have on you and around you to help protect you. So it was a lot at first, and now I just have a list of different trainings that I take or I plan on taking. And whenever the opportunity comes up for me to join other people in learning these different type of trainings or even instructing in training, I'm always advocating for go get trained. Go get trained. Don't just take that one class. Don't just go get apply for the concealed carry license and then that's it. You need to go ahead and get trained. Learn how to use your firearm. Be familiar and comfortable with it. So yeah, it's a practice, and it's something that you make into a habit. And if you're not making it into a habit, then you know I know a lot of people, they purchase a gun, they may go to the range one or two times, they'll shoot it and put it up, and then that's it. It stays in the drawer, and they just say, okay, well, in case something happens, then I'll go get it. You know what I mean? It's not, I'm going to practice with it. I'm going to learn how to, you know, secure my house so that if something should happen, I'm able to defend my house. I know that there's a safe room, and within that, you know, everybody's supposed to meet up in the safe room, or maybe I'm going to the safe room and everybody else is already there. Whatever the case is, it's just a matter of learning how to practice and be proficient with what you have. And hope, you know, it's better to be prepared and not have to use those skills than to be in a situation where you have to use those skills and you're ill-prepared for it. So, yeah, you know, that's just my take on it to begin with. Like I said, there's a whole litany of things that I would encourage anybody to do.
Yeah, I agree. For me, one of the trainings I do now is dry fire. And I'll kick this over to you. Do you dry fire? And if so, how often?
Since the pandemic, I dry fire more than a little bit. And I can tell people what this is. Dry fire is basically the idea of having an empty magazine and using it in your gun. Most times we use, like I use a semi-automatic. You can do this with a revolver. And prior to this, you would hear people talk about dry firing. Oh, you mess your gun up, so on and so forth. Most guns nowadays are meant or can withstand dry fire. They can, you know, they don't tear down or break down, wear down as easy as they used to. So what it is for you to work on your focus, your grip discipline, your trigger press, all of those things. Trigger press meaning how you pull the trigger straight back and not jerking the trigger, your grip, how tight you hold it. And there are a wide variety of things. But, yeah, I don't want to go too deep often because you just asked me how often do I dry fire. But, yeah, I dry fire on a regular basis, probably a couple of times a week, if not more, 3-4 times a week. But, yeah, I do.
Right. And so it's so funny because I know how useful dry fire is, but mm-hmm. I didn't do it. And I'll explain why. For me, right, I get bored when I dry fire. Like, okay, I squeeze the trigger, it goes click. I re-rack the slide, squeeze the trigger, it goes click. It does it again, right? So for me, mm-hmm. that got boring over time. I use snap caps, and snap caps are It's pretty much what it sounds like. It's a replica round. They come in different colors, red, green, yellow, whatever they are, whatever color. And it's a replica round, and your firing pin just hits that replica round when you squeeze the trigger, and you can rack the slide and eject the snap cap like a regular round would. For those who are concerned about damaging their firing pin and stuff like that, but I have a Glock, so I don't worry about that stuff. I'm just saying. Nah. But anyway.
But here we go, Glock man. Okay. Yeah. Go ahead.
But I've since gotten what's called a laser cartridge, and it works the same way a snap cap does. But in this instance, when the firing pin hits the back of the laser cartridge, a red dot appears on whatever you're aiming at. So it's actually given my dry fire practice a little bit of excitement. You know what I mean? It's given me some feedback. So I've been doing that a lot lately, and I've actually picked up my dry fire now. And like you said, because of the pandemic, you know, you don't want to be out there shooting your ammo. So
exactly,
I totally recommend dry fire practice. And the thing with dry fire practice, though, is you have to practice like you mean it. You know what I mean? There's a saying, train as you fight. So when you're dry firing, you want to practice like you mean it. You don't want to be out there just click, rack. You want to put some meaning behind it. And like you said, you can do all types of stuff, drawing from the holster, transitioning to different targets, you know, practicing cover and concealment. You can do all of that stuff for free with dry fire, you know? So,
yeah,
but
exactly.
Yeah, that's me.
Yeah. Now, and I want to, for the sake of safety, I just want to throw in some dry fire safety rules, if you can. Yeah, you are always going to want to, you know, again, assume all guns are loaded. You don't want to point it at anything you're not willing to kill or destroy. In this situation with dry fire, you know, because it is the act of simulating, the first thing you want to do is either remove yourself and your firearm from the room where the ammunition is stored, or you want to move the ammunition to a safe room. But the best thing to do is find you a room where you can dry fire practice outside of where the ammunition is stored. So that would just require maybe one or two magazines that are empty or with snap caps. And you can do, like Will said, you can do a litany of things. You can practice loading. You can practice shooting. You can practice malfunction issues where you're learning to what we call tap and rack, where you tap the bottom of the magazine with the gun in and you rack the slide to eject the round, and you re-engage. You can do pretty much a lot of things, and you know, you're doing everything you normally do to fire a shot off, but without the ammo in it. That's basically it. One thing that I do want to point out from a psychological aspect of this is the fact that when you're doing simulations, you're, you know, again, like we'll say, you're practicing as if this is the real thing. Your brain, the way your brain operates, and this is your brain doesn't distinguish between, oh, you know, this is fiction versus reality. Your brain is an active, you know, it's an active muscle that does not distinguish. That's why they encourage people to visualize certain things, visualize doing something in a certain way and as if it is so. And we don't realize that. That's part of the reason why in the movie theaters, even though we know Jason and Freddy isn't real, we still jump at a certain scene because our brain doesn't differentiate between, you know, the movie theater and the screen. It's still something that our body responds to. So, like I said, dry fire can be done inside the home with no equipment or, you know, besides your handgun. And like I said, maybe get you a couple of rounds of magazines to do. And if you like Will said, snap caps. These are something that you can buy off Amazon. You can find anywhere, and this goes for your handgun, You have snap caps for your rifle and for your shotgun. So you can easily find these things. And again, Amazon is probably, for me, as an instructor buying, you know, demonstration demo tools, they are probably my best friend. And I'll say like this, Will, one of the things that I have that I use for demonstration purposes in training and getting people with the laser cartridge is a tumbler can. You can find, if you look it up, you can look it up, and it, basically it responds to the laser. You put a laser cartridge in, rack the slide, cut the tumbler can on, set it down at a distance, and you aim your firearm at it, pull the trigger, the laser, if the laser hits the tumbler can in the right spot, it just rumbles. And it'll rumble and spin around and let you know you're on point. And that lets you work on, like, again, your grip and your trigger. So these are easy things that you can do. You can easily get an app. You go to your, you know, Google Play or Apple Store and look up some of these apps online. They have apps that are free that chart your that will do the simulated shots, show you where you place. You can download and print out a target from any place, just about. If you type in, you know, pistol target or whatever the case is, you can print one out, an 8x8 and 11.5x11 on 11, that type of paper, without getting too tongue-tied. But you can print those things out, and you can practice at home and use your phone to help record your shots. If you want to pay for something that's a little more accurate in way of diagnosing your shots and helping you become a better shooter, they have stuff out there like that. You can buy a complete system that are out there that will allow you to practice dry firing at home. They even have certain slides you can purchase for your firearm. They even, let me see, mags. They've created the mag that you can use for certain guns that you can insert that allow you to pull the trigger multiple times without having to rack it. So there are a wide variety. You know, this is how serious dry firing is for a lot of people. And I've had, I just recently had a conversation with someone, and they were like, I'll never dry fire in my house. I'll never. It's like, that's, most experts recommend you learn how to, you know, use your firearm by dry firing. It's not an unsafe thing to do. And if, like I said, learn the rules, create rules for yourself. Don't fire in the same room with live ammunition. Take yourself out of that room with your gun, two mags, and do your dry fire. So, you know, without over talking, but yeah, you can also get a chamber flag and put it in your gun. You can use that just for even learning how to aim. So I think I've given 900 things you could do with a pistol really quickly.
Yeah, you give me some stuff I didn't even know about. I'm like, what?
Yeah, and, you know, as an instructor, one of the things, and this is one of the things that I'm doing research on, is, and I think I've talked to you and I talked to other instructors about this before, was the bang and grip control, gripping the pistol, recoil, dealing with recoil, trigger press, and the bang. And I'm saying that not in order, but typically first-time shooters are afraid of the bang, or that bang is what throws them off. And they're afraid. Then it's the recoil, meaning they've watched so many movies where somebody like Dirty Harry, who carries a 44 Magnum, and he pulls the trigger and it boom, this loud boom, and plus the recoil has his hand flying all the way back. Or you see some movie where they shoot and the gun slaps them in the face or blows them back and blows the criminal back. It doesn't always happen like that. So we deal with that and just teaching, you know, how to deal with recoil, because that's some of the biggest things to being dealing with. If you've ever seen professional shooters, that's why they use dry fire. They're working on grip and trigger press, and in their mind, they're managing recoil. They're doing certain things like locking their wrists to manage recoil. So like Will said, you know, in the beginning, you practice, you know, as if it's the real thing, so that when the real thing happens, you are in a position where you're holding your gun properly and you're working on that. So it's like I said, there are a lot of skills that you can do with dry fire.
Right, right. And one thing I do, I did it yesterday at the range, and I've done it before, is I record myself shooting, right? So any mistakes I've made, I can correct them for next time. You can even do that with dry fire, you know, just set your phone up, record yourself, and you can – it's a way to – how can I say it? What's the word I'm looking for? I can't even think of the word. I'm drawing a blank right now. Assess. It's a way to assess yourself. Self-assessment. There we go. But, yeah, so I record myself dry firing. I record myself shooting. Just to talk myself through things when I'm watching the video, okay, I could have done this better. My grip, I should have squeezed the trigger like this. So it's really a lot that goes into it. But it's when you get down to it, it's not as intimidating as it sounds, if that makes sense, you know?
Yeah, and I get you 100%. It's not as intimidating as it sounds, but it does – the more you do it, the better you do it. But, you know, I just want you to tell people the truth. You know, you have your Glock and you taking selfies with your Glock. I've seen them pictures, man. So you might as well tell the truth. I'll see with your Glock.
I've only taken one selfie with my Glock, all right? One. Just one.
Oh, man. So, okay. I'm not going to mess with you about you, your Glock selfies. So for those of us who do train, how often do we train? And we talked about that, and we kind of talked about it. I said mine was 3 or 4 times a week, and that's with dry fire. Again, going through this process, you're not just talking about, you know, you can do dry fire on a regular, you can do dry fire every day if you want to. You can go to the range on a regular basis. There are some people that go to the range every day, you know, maybe once a week, but they're training. They're constantly training. Pandemic time, not so much because of the shortage of ammunition. But, well, how often, if you could, how often would you go to train at the range or do dry fire? How often do you train overall?
If I could, I would go to the range every day, if I could. Mm-hmm. Being that I can't, even before the pandemic, I couldn't, you know, life. But dry firing now, it's about 2 to 3 times a week. That I dry fire now, only because I'm starting, like I said, I learned the importance, but I'm starting more and more to see that, okay, I need to continuously do this. It's not just something that I should do once every 2 weeks or once a month and call it training, because that's not training at all. And when you think about it from other aspects, right? Bruce Lee once said he doesn't fear the man who's practiced 10,000 kicks once. He fears the man who practiced one kick 10,000 times. And to me, that right there lets me know all I need to know about training. Like when you talk about Bruce Lee being afraid of someone, he said he fears the man who practiced one kick 10,000 times. So it needs to be, because you got to think about this. Shooting is something that's a perishable skill. If you don't use it, you lose it. So, like, even people who are actual trainers will tell you. Like, I took a training class last Sunday, actually, this past Sunday. My first one.
Mm-hmm.
And, So, think about training classes. We'll talk about it more, but they can be intimidating. Now, mind you, I've been shooting for years, right? I can go to the range. I can shoot. No nerves, nothing. But if you put me in a training class and you tell me to do something, I'm going to be nervous. So I took a class with Body Bio Tactical, and he's someone that I admire a lot. You know what I mean? And so he had us on the firing line, and he's like, "All right, put the gun in your workspace. You know, put it and workspace meaning in front of your face. You want to be able to see the gun." And we're gonna get this. When we do this live stream, but I'll try to explain it the best way I can. Not pointing the gun at your face. So you wanna hold the gun, but you wanna turn it and have the magwell facing the opposite direction of your hand, of your strong hand. So you wanna have the magwell facing your weak hand. So for me, I'm a right-handed shooter, so the magwell will be facing towards my left, right? And you would draw the mag and put the mag into the magwell. Well, he said, "Hey, put the gun in your office space," and he had us waiting, right? He's like, "All right, wait there," because he was showing something to someone else. But, man, when I tell you my nerves, I was standing there shaking, and you ever seen those cartoons where, like, someone's teeth are chattering when they're nervous? So I was standing there shaking, and my freaking gun, all you could hear is like the metal inside of it. You could hear it shaking.
Wow.
My nerves were shot.
Wow.
So I had to tell myself. I literally had to talk to myself like, "Hey, you got this. It's just training. Relax." So I had to tell myself to relax.
Yeah.
I had to literally coach myself, take some deep breaths and stuff like that. So even those of us that shoot get nervous, you know. So like,
yeah.
So.
Yeah. It,
but. Yeah.
Go ahead. I'm
nerves, man. And I tell you, like, and I say that because people may be like, "Well, these guys do it all the time. There's no way they get nervous. I'm nervous, blah, 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 blah." No, I'm nervous too. Like, I've been shooting for four years. But I still get nervous. Like, I still get nervous. I still get intimidated because what training does, it takes you out your comfort zone. So that's the good thing about training, because heaven forbid you're in a self-defense situation, you're not going to be in a comfort zone. You know what I mean? So it's better to get all of that stuff out in training than be worried about it in a self-defense situation.
Yeah. And that's, again, when you're dealing with training, and there are trainings that talk about that, that talk about practicing in your home, learning the difference between concealment and cover. A lot of people, again, the movie theaters will have you believing just ducking behind a car is the safe thing to do, and you don't realize the power. Yeah, exactly. The power of, you know, how the caliber gun cartridges, bullets do go through car doors. You know, you see people shooting behind the car door and ducking, or they use something like the refrigerator door to block shots. But the reality of it is most firearms, you know, or most calibers are designed to penetrate. A full metal jacket will go through a human body, and through it, and it could hit another person or another, you know, strike something else. So it's that's why you train. You learn about the firearm. You learn about the cartridge. You learn about, you know, what drills you can do in order to help you perfect. You know, again, this is basically what we're saying is you're learning to create muscle memory, so that when everything starts to happen, your body reacts as if it's, you know, in a manner that says, "I'm designed. This is what we've practiced for. We're designed to do this. We know how to load rounds. We know how to, you know, like you said, understand what it is to work in your workspace. Your workspace is that midsection area from your chest down, you know, between your chest and your abdomen, where you're turning that, you know, like you said, you're turning the weapon. The gun up on turning it into your weak hand side, so you can see what's in front of you. Plus, you can see your magazine well. You can insert, you know, again, snapping. I'm actually, as I'm talking about this, I'm actually going through the motions. I'm literally, Will, I'm going like, I got my finger pistol, and I got it turned to the side. I'm slapping the bottom of it, and I'm racking the slot as I'm talking about it. But that's how often. That's how often you get into the habit of doing it. It's just like you start to mimic those things. It becomes muscle memory. And I can tell you, even like Will, at trainings, you're nervous. You know, nobody wants to look bad, you know, in front of another person, especially when you get in front of other instructors. And we're all taking, even though we're all taking the same course, we're all doing the same thing. Nobody wants to be showing up. Nobody wants to be like, oh, I'm the worst shot in the thing, in the class. You're running scenarios through your mind. So basically, like Will said, it's okay to be nervous. Be nervous then so that you'll be prepared later on. So that's a lot of what we're looking at. So I do want to, let me see, find the other questions, because we did, there were specific questions that were asked in the description, you know, training habits. What are your training habits? Well, when you get to the range, you know, do you pull out the tobacco and you start chewing tobacco, you put your cocky cowboy hat to the side? What do you do?
No. That's funny. I actually do have a cowboy hat.
See?
I do have a cowboy hat. But when in Texas, right?
Yeah. See, there you go. You're in Texas.
Yeah, right. So for me, when I get to the range, let me think, because I think I cover a little bit of my training habits. But when I get to the range, right, I'm not just there just dumping ammo, because to me that's just foolish. Like just going there, oh, I'm gonna just do a mag dump and call it a day. No, every round has a purpose. Every trigger press has a purpose. Everything I do has a purpose, right? So yesterday, I went to a TDSA. I got a day pass there yesterday because I happened to be off work yesterday and today. So, and for those that don't know, if you're familiar with Colleen Noir, it's the range he shoots at, the tire range. I didn't go there because he shoots there. I actually think it's a dope range. And it is. So I had been wanting to go there for a while. But it's a pretty nice range, and the owner, Lynn, is a pretty nice guy. But so there, they have a paper side and they have a steel side, steel targets, plinking, like Eric was talking about earlier. So my whole purpose yesterday was to shoot the steel targets because I love shooting steel targets. Reason being is steel targets are unforgiving. Like, if you miss, you know you miss.
Yeah.
And if you hit the target, you know you hit the target. So I started shooting steel targets maybe last year, and I was like, yeah, this is the way. Like, shooting paper is good for folks just starting out. Even if you've been shooting for a long time, shooting paper is still good. But for those who want more feedback, shooting steel is the way to go. So I got there yesterday. I loaded two mags, and my intention was to work through some of the things O had talked about in his class, you know, like your stance, your grip, your sight picture, and stuff like that. So for me, I use an isosceles stance, and for those that don't know, it's you stand, your body's straight. And when you push your pistol out, when you punch your pistol out, your arms form like a triangle, so an isosceles triangle. So I made sure to go over my grip. I made sure every time I punch my pistol out, I have my same stance. Sorry, I think I said grip. But my stance was right. My grip was right. Before I take the shot, I want to make sure the fundamentals are right before I even press the trigger. Before I even put my finger on the trigger, I want to wait, make sure my fundamentals are right. And all that stuff I'm mentioning, for those that don't know, are fundamentals. Your stance, your grip, your sight picture, your sight alignment, all of that stuff is fundamentals. So, yeah, that's my training habit, making sure that everything I do has a purpose. You know, whether I'm shooting 5 rounds, 25 rounds, or 100 rounds, every round has a purpose. Everything I do has a purpose.
Yeah. Okay. Now, I guess mine is a little bit more laid back. I come in, I just look at the target, I talk to the target, and I shoot 2 rounds, and then I'm out. Okay, maybe not. I guess you don't believe me. But no, I'm like you. I know, okay, well, I'm working on grip, I'm working on trigger press, front sight focus, rear sight focus, you know, front rear sight focus, picture, you know, picture alignment, and these are things, you know, a lot of this terminology that we're spitting out sounds foreign, but when you actually take a course, and I guess that's the best one. Front sight alignment and rear sight alignment refers to the front of the gun and the rear of the gun. Those two little peaks, two little aiming points that they normally talk about when you're aiming your gun. Learning the difference between sight picture and sight, you know, front sight alignment, front sight focus, that you're supposed to be focused on the front of the gun as opposed to focusing on the trigger or the picture. I'm sorry. So those are a lot of things that, you know, we go and we have, you know, practice with a purpose. That's the main thing. When you get to the range, go and work on it. If you took a, let's say you took basic pistol, which is a course that normally gives you the introduction to pistol. It teaches you about a pistol, you know, from the revolver to the semi-automatic and so on and so forth. And it goes down and gives you, you know, breaks it down. But you also have the opportunity to go out and shoot. Once you take that, learn some of the terminology, especially if you own a gun. Learn the terminology when you get it, so you know exactly what you're doing, you know, how to handle your firearm, not just, like I said, I've heard people who say, I own a firearm and I put it, you know, I bought it, I put it on the shelf, or, and, you know, I shot it once or twice, I'm good, put it on the shelf. And they don't think about it. They only think about it when something goes bump in the night and they're jumping up and they're trying to do it. So training habits are important, because now I understand how to use my firearm. I know how to use it, you know, map out your house. How does it look? You know, that's your training habit. How does it look if there's an intruder in your house? Most instructors, as an instructor, will tell you you're better to stay right where you are. They can rummage around your house all they want to, but for you to go looking for them, that I normally say that's a no-no. Don't think, you know, again, you're not, unless you are coming out with full body armor, I guess, and I'm not even giving you that advice. But anyway, there are a lot of things that we can, yeah, stay where you are,
yeah,
and let it happen, you know. Certain things can be replaced. And if they do come to your room, and if, say, for instance, you have children, teaching your family members to have a safe word, so that if you do have to come out into the open space, you can call out the safe word, so that you know that the person that's moving in front of you isn't a family member, and you're not about to shoot that person. They have their safe word, or whatever the case may be. No. But I'm just saying, those are things that we learn as we go along, man.
Right, and I agree. And the reason being is, for me, right, I never want to stop learning, right? But
yeah,
like you said, let's say, because I wanted to jump on this when you said things go bump in the night, something goes bump in the night, right? You don't want to have to. My philosophy with being a gun owner is I don't go looking for trouble. And I always say that to people, and I'm talking about in general, right? But I use that same philosophy at home. Like, I don't want to go looking for the trouble. Like, okay, I heard a noise. Call the police, right? Yeah, you're a gun owner. But still, call the police, right? Why would you want to go looking for it? Let it come to you. Let it come to you. And something I know a lot of people think, a lot of people don't think about. You never want to shoot at a silhouette. And people say, well, what do you mean by that? You want to, one of the fundamental, one of the safety rules is knowing your target and what's beyond it. There's a reason people say knowing your target. It means identify your target, right? Because there's countless stories where people have shot at something, shot at a silhouette, and it's been a family member. And you never want to be that person that shoots your family member, right? So,
yeah,
we talk about these training habits. That's another thing. People think, oh, because I have night sights, I'm good. If you can't identify your target, night sights mean nothing. You never want to shoot at a silhouette. And so, like Eric was saying about the whole safe word, I agree with that. And it's the plan I've been thinking about for my wife and I. You know, like, okay, what's going to be the safe word? All right, cool. You say that safe word like freaking blue rabbit or something. Blue rabbit. Okay. Mm-hmm. I know that it's you, right?
Yeah.
But these are things that we talk about with training. You know, people think training is just going to the range and shooting a target, but there's a lot that goes into it, especially being a gun owner, right? Like there's you have to have a different mindset when you're a gun owner. You have to be able to, and like Eric always says, your greatest weapon is your brain. You have to be able to try to defuse a situation, and I'm talking about something totally irrelevant. I mean, not irrelevant, but talk about something different. But you have to be able to use your brain, right? So let's say you hear a noise, someone's broken into your house. You know your house better than anyone, right? So why would you go looking for them? Let them fumble, like Eric said, let them fumble around, let them fumble and stumble around. And then if the threat comes to you, then you, by all means, you do what you got to do. But stay safe. You know what I mean? Like my supervisor at work, he said he carries a 1,000-lumen flashlight. And that stuff means nothing to me. 1,000 lumens, I guess, is very bright. I'm going to just say a very bright flashlight. But so
super bright.
Let's say he shines that flashlight. Okay, boom, shine this flashlight. He's identified his target now. Now he has every right to do what he needs to do, right? So those are the things you have to think about when you think about training habits. Okay, you know, when you're asleep at night, it's dark. Most of the time people break in is at night, but we can go into statistics and all that stuff another time. But most of the time people break in at night, right? It's dark. So do you have a flashlight? Do you have easy access to your firearm? Okay, if you don't, how can you get it quickly? You know what I mean? It's a lot that goes into it, man. But I'm glad you brought up things going bump in the night, because people think, all right, I have a gun, I'm good to go. No, now you got to learn how to use a gun in the home, use it outside. You know, it's a lot, man.
Exactly. There's a lot of things to consider when it comes to being a firearm, you know, owning a firearm. And it's not just, again, a lot of people look at it as, you know, oh, it's just, I just go to the range a couple of times, maybe a couple of times a month, or a couple every other month, or every once a year. Now, you know, nowadays it's, we advocate for training, not just for the sake of getting you out of the house and playing with your gun. No, it's the whole idea of it. And getting into a habit of, like I said, becoming more familiar with it. being very, you know, being articulate with it. I guess that's the best way to using that terminology. Being able to pick it up and understanding the difference between, you know, if I pick it up, I understand it's, you know, the magazine is in it. I know that there's how to do a, you know, a press check to make sure that there's a round in the chamber. You know, knowing your mags are there, knowing where your magazines are, knowing where your ammunition is, knowing where your firearm is in your house, knowing how to, you know, move your children, you know, or moving to a safe space in your house where your family can be protected and you're able to defend your family in the room. A lot of people think it's funny. You know, one of the trainings that I had recently, we were yelling at the target. He had us yelling at the target, basically saying, get back, stay away, get back. I have a firearm, get back. Don't make me use my firearm, stay away, get back. And like yelling. Because, again, you're trying to defuse without having to use your firearm. Even taking courses in legal, understanding the legal ramifications of being using your firearm. Because a lot of times people don't really understand. You use your firearm, the chances of you going to jail are very high. Even if you were in the right, you may easily be arrested until they're able to determine what exactly happened. I've had the fortune of taking a class with an instructor who's very much into the essence, like the essence of talking about the legal ramifications of what happens when you discharge your firearm and someone is hurt, killed, and even if it's a self-defense situation. So we need to be very cognizant of using it and knowing the ramifications and knowing what it's meant to do. But, you know, we talk about it. One of the things that I did want to say, just some of the things that were rolling in my head was basically, you know, you know the old adage, practice makes perfect. You know, you hear a lot of times, you know, especially the amateur, you hear about the amateur gun enthusiast, you know, giving up training after a couple of weeks, and it's like, you know, they get it. Like I said, you get it, you forget about it. But you're working on your mechanics. You're working on your muscle memory. But also, I want you to be aware of not burning out. Avoid burning out. Avoid going to the range and you put down 300 rounds down range in a session. And you can easily burn out. You do fatigue, you know, And it's just like lifting weights because you're stressing, you're straining your muscles. And like Will said, you want to take your time and put everything in a position where you're coming with a purpose, but don't overdo it. Don't do it till you're just out of it. And then you find yourself burnt out. I guess you could say an emotional burnout. So without enough time between sessions, you know, it becomes repetitive. Sometimes it feels like it could be tedious. And for a lot of people, it becomes outright. When I've done it all the time, it's outright boring. It's just, you know, so again, avoid that type of burnout. Schedule yourself, you know, put a schedule on it. You know, some of us can do every day. Not everybody does it every day. So again, I'm not going to put that on you and say, well, you have to be a real gunslinger, you got to go to the range every day. Or to be a real gunslinger, you got to practice every day. There are points where you take a break, analyze what you're doing, look at what you're doing, do some stuff like Will said. Video you tape yourself. Don't do selfies with the Glock. Just telling you. That's all I'm going to say. I'm going to leave that alone right there. But I'm saying go ahead and do some practice, videotape yourself, take some time to look at it and look at what you're doing. And if you see, like if you happen to notice that at the range your shots are off and you videos, look at your hands, look at your trigger finger, look at, you know, everything. All those things come into play. You know, are you working, are you breath control? Very few people have issues with breath. I've not known too many people have issues with breath control, but grip and trigger press typically are handicaps, are what will get us, you know. So we got about 35 minutes left. So we're We're right on target. One of the things that I want to do also, and we can talk about this, is the some drills, some decent drills that you can do for shooting. If you do go to the range and you find yourself and you're at a proficient level, and I'll throw some out there really quick, you know, because I do believe in drills, especially shooting drills. I'm not necessarily telling you to move around and roll, do a tuck and roll, and you jump up and you start shooting. But having some defensive firearm drills can help you keep your skills sharp and build you a solid base. So you build your solid base for in defensive firearms, you know, you, that way you feel comfortable again using it. There is, let me see, I want to say, what's a good drill? The old crap drill. Have you ever heard of the old crap drill?
No, I haven't.
Okay. The old crap drill. Let's see. You can use this for the old crap drill. You can use a shotgun, a handgun, or a rifle. Take your pick, any one. But basically, the drill is basically used for malfunctions. You can use an empty brass case. You can use a snap cap. What you're doing is kind of complicating yourself. What I've done and seen people do is we'll load real ammunition along with snap caps, and you'll fire, snap cap. So you're going to eject that round. You know, you've tried to fire, misfire, hang fire, squib load, whatever the case may be, but you eject the round, you check your mag, you eject the round, check your mag, reload, da-da, and you go. But it's basically it's teaching you to go through the process of being able to go through a situation where you're firing, you're engaged. Oh, crap, my gun has, there's some kind of malfunction. So we're going to tap and rack, and then we're going to re-engage. We're learning how to get back in the fight. So it's a simple drill. And it's just basically teaching you how to defeat, like, the complications of malfunctions. So you go through that whole process, and you can start the position in what we call the ready position, which is basically aiming at the target as if you just fired or you're in the process of firing. And, again, something happens, you can start out with the old crap, and you can learn to – so let's say you're out of rounds, or you shot, boom, fire the firearm, your gun back. That means you're out of ammo, or it just locks back, indicating that there's nothing else. Learning how to drop that magazine out of the well, like Will said, working in your workspace, reloading, racking, and reengaging, and getting back into the fight. Firearm misfires, hang fires. Squib loads do happen. Squib loads is when it's a low pressure round. It gets lodged in your gun. That's a whole nother animal. You got to jam that bullet out of your gun. Hang fire. You fire the gun, nothing happens, and you may hold it. And we normally tell people give it about 30 seconds, and then you, if it doesn't happen, or hang fire will fire unexpectedly out of the gun because that pressure is just a delayed reaction, or you have a misfire and it doesn't come out at all, so you have to eject the round where it hits the primer and nothing happens, either because of malfunction to the firearm or because of malfunction in the cartridge. So you have that. Have you tried the dot torture drill?
No? So, yes. The oh crap drill, I didn't give it a name. I didn't know that's what it was called, but I've done that before. I'll load a mag without looking, and I'll have snap caps mixed in with the regular rounds. And so I'm just loading a mag. I close my eyes to load the mag. So I didn't know it was called something. I just did it. You know, I'd be shooting, click. Oh, I hit the snap cap, then I got a tap rack, get back on target. So I've done that numerous times, and it's a pain in the butt, but it makes you better. It makes you better. But the dot torture drill, I have yet to try it because, let's just keep it real, I don't want to. like
okay,
yeah, I'm not ready for it yet.
You never.
I've seen it. I actually have the targets for the dot torture drill. I'm actually gonna, because I'm in the process of moving now. So when we get to the new place, I'm gonna tape some up and do some dry fire with it using the laser cartridge.
Okay.
See how good I am. But I'm not ready to do real ammo yet. But there's another drill that I've heard of. It's called the Venti drill. Have you heard of that one?
Yeah, I have. I've not tried it.
Yeah, see, that's
Tell
another
me,
one. I'm not ready to try it yet. I saw it.
Why not, man?
I can't even really explain it, man. Like, I watched it on YouTube. Somebody had recommended it, and I'm like, what's the Venti drill? And it was like, because everybody knows Venti is like a cup of coffee, the size of a cup of coffee. So it's literally, I think it's doing it cold, like no warm-up or nothing. You just go and you're shooting this target. I'll have to research it more to explain it better. I was hoping you had heard of it, then you could explain it. But yeah, it's something I want to try too. But that dot torture, no. And as y'all can hear, there's some things that even I won't train with yet.
Well, yeah, and so I'll say it like this, and look, I'll back up. And let's start with the dot torture drill because, you know, I'm going to approach it like nobody knows what we're talking about here. The dot torture drill is a 50-round course. That means you need at least 50 rounds of ammunition to do this course. And it's you can easily type it in, dot torture drill, and you'll get it they offer two different types of targets. One is for your regular, I guess I say regular, but the semi-automatic. But they also have one for a double action, single action, alternate, and it gives you directions on there. But basically, it's you're aiming at 2-inch circles. And you normally, I would say, I start out at 3 yards, and then you progress back in distance as you are able to complete the drill at that distance. Let's say again at 3 yards. So figure 3 yards is what, 9 feet? What am I thinking? Yeah, 3 yards, 9 feet. Yeah. Okay. So you're as you're progressing, you go through these rounds and it tells you specific things. Draw, you know, single hand, you know, shoot strong hand, you know, or you know, shoot twice in this number and shoot once in this number. And there's no time limit to it. But you're going to work through the paces. So again, to shoot the drill, you need to print out the dot torture. And let me see, it consists of, it has 10 2-inch circles. And you, like I said, you're shooting at these circles following the instructions. My advice is to print it out twice so you'll have the instructions with you, and then you can put the dot torture drill up and use it yourself. So like I said, you got, for instance, I think what is the first round? I'm looking at my paper now. Dot one, you draw and you shoot 5 rounds. You go slowly on the first one, but the goal is to maximize your accuracy, and you want to make one big hole. So basically, you want to shoot out the number one. And for number two, you draw and fire 1 round and repeat that 4 times. So you're going to draw, fire, draw again, fire, and you're doing this 4 times. So it's teaching you some level of discipline and working in accuracy. And you work at 3 yards until you're able to go through all 10 of those dots, and you're working that out. What did we say the other one was? The Venti drill? I've not shot that, but...
Yeah, it's called the Venti drill.
The Venti drill is what, 100 rounds?
I think so. Hold on.
So the drill takes 100 rounds.
Yeah,
I'm
Vinci
reading
100
it.
Drill.
Yeah. And again, we're talking about these things. You have the opportunity to look these drills up. Venti drill, the Venti 100, V-E-N-T-I 100, shot pistol, called the shot pistol wake-up drill. The Venti 100 shot pistol wake-up drill. So you have the opportunity to look it up and see for yourself what it is, what you can do, and how you can use that to your advantage. I do want to go backwards a little bit, Will, and before we close out, because we have about 24 minutes. We've been talking about training, and we've talked about taking training, but we've not talked about finding a decent instructor. So one of the things I would like to do, because we talked about that earlier in other segments, and I want to just close out with the opportunity to let people know, you know, what you need to do about finding what we consider to be an instructor. So what you got, Will?
Yeah, so there's a couple instructors I would recommend. First and foremost is Body Bio Tactical, him and his wife, Tactical Social Worker. You can find them on social media, Instagram, via those names if you're in Texas. Someone else I recommend is who I'm always going to recommend is Tig from my sister's Keeper Defense. And she actually, if you look her up, my sister's Keeper Defense, you can type that in on Instagram. She actually has a database for finding black instructors. She has a database full of black instructors.
Yes.
I'm going to call out someone else who's like my mentor, you.
what?
For those that don't know, Eric is an instructor. what is it? Team Effort, right? If I'm not mistaken.
Yes, Team Effort Consulting. Yes, sir.
I know what it is. I'm just messing with you.
Okay.
So,
yeah. I'm not taking no chances.
Right. Also, if you go to National African American Gun Association, they have a listing as well. Something I do, a little caveat, right, with finding trainers and instructors, make sure to vet your instructor, your trainer, whoever you're going to be spending money with. And what I mean by that, ask them certain questions. When's the last time they've taken a training? Like I said, I took the class with Body Bio, and he made sure to tell us. You can never know everything about shooting, right? He said that people he's mentored, he's actually paid money and gone to their classes. Because you never stop learning in this firearms game. If you think you know it all, trust me, you don't know anything.
Exactly.
Right. You wanna make sure you're finding good instructors. Another thing I will say, I was in the military for 7 years. That means nothing. That's not what qualifies me to be an instructor. So and I'll say that to anyone. I don't care who doesn't agree, whatever. I don't care if they've been a cop or whatever, because, like I said, I was in the military. I knew people who were officers in the military that couldn't shoot. So being in the military, being a cop, while those are great and I applaud everyone for doing that, if I was there to be an instructor, unless that was their thing. Like if you're a firearms instructor in the police department, that may qualify you, but even still, it's a different mindset. It's a different ball game. Make sure your instructors are taking training. If they say, oh, my last training was 3 years ago, maybe you may want to look for another trainer. I'm just saying. Sorry
exactly.
to say it. Sorry for anyone whose last training was 3 years ago, but I get COVID. But at the same time, I took a training class just last weekend. So there's kind of not an excuse, man. Because there's outdoor classes that you can take, you know what I mean? So, like Body Bio said, he takes his quarterly. So that's every 3 months. I can't afford that right now. I'm trying to get to that level, but but you want to make sure that your instructors, your trainers are getting training themselves. Make sure they're safe, because if they're unsafe, then they're teaching you unsafe habits as well. I'm trying to think of something else. How about you? What do you recommend when looking for a trainer or someone to teach you, an instructor?
Well, I was going to back what you said. Yeah, make sure that they are certified, firearms instruction trainer. And you do want to know what courses they've completed. You know, if you ask me recently, I just took a course in personal protection inside the home because that's my next area of instruction. Getting ready to take a MAG 20 course, which requires 500 rounds of ammunition to take a 2-day course. And again, backing up what you said, just because the person sells you, because a lot of instructors will come out and say, you know, I was a police officer for 15 years and da 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 da, and you know, and they'll sell, you know, so it sounds appealing, but they don't tell you that they worked in the police department, but they were a desk sergeant, or they worked behind a desk. They never patrolled. They never had any interaction. Not necessarily saying you have to draw your firearm, but or you hear someone say, well, I was in the military for umpteen years and I served in this unit and da 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 da, or they don't tell you that, you know, really they were, you know, they were the cook. And not to say that the cook can't shoot, but
they were a cook.
But you know, it's to say that, you know, a lot of times people will throw that out there and they use that as a guideline. You want to hear my opinion, my thoughts are, you want to be with an instructor that makes you feel comfortable. You don't want someone who comes across, if you're not the kind of person who can handle a drill instructor type person, then that's not the instructor that you want, where they're barking orders at you, telling you, right the slide, check the dot, you know, and they're going, no, somebody you may be working through a process, and that instructor is willing to walk you through it. My approach is, I'm going to walk you through it. I'm going to look at you. I'm going to look at what you're doing, and I'm going to try to diagnose what's going on. I'm going to look at your shot, and we're going to talk about your shot. We're going to talk about why you're hitting, you know, off center left. What happened when you hit the bullseye, but the next shot was directly off? You know, once I start looking at that, I can tell you what you're doing. And then once you start understanding, most times I understand where you're going. So we're going to walk through that process. So you want someone who's going to make you feel comfortable, who's going to help you. And depending on your level of shooting, someone who's going to do it. If you're an intermediate or advanced shooter, whatever the case is, you may want somebody who knows that you know a little bit more about guns. And so you're able to move at a faster pace, so you work with that person depending on your skill level. But again, someone who you feel comfortable with. For me, I want someone who's going to look at the psychology of it and can break it down for me, even if it's the law. Like I said, the guys that I go to for instruction, one guy in particular, he's into the law. He breaks down the law and he talks about that, but he also talks about the science of it. And that's what gets me, is like learning the science of what we do, why we do it, and how we're going to, you know, how do we mentally prepare for those things. So, yeah, those are the things that I look for, and it really depends. I've had people say, well, I'm looking for an instructor. I want to learn how to shoot. Okay. And at that point, it becomes a conversation about personality. And I want to match you with someone who's going to work you through those processes, and you're going to feel good about it at the end. You understand what I'm saying? It's like, I don't want to just stick you with somebody and you're not comfortable with that. Or you have a miserable experience, because miserable experiences at the range, miserable experiences with an instructor will deter someone from ever wanting to be bothered with a gun or shooting again. So,
right. And going back to the military thing, like for me, I was a mechanic in the military. So, like, if I say, yeah, I was in the military for 70 years, I deployed to Afghanistan, you're going to be like, oh, wow, he knows what he's talking about. But I was a damn mechanic. Like, don't get me wrong. Did I shoot my rifle? Yeah. Do I know how to shoot my rifle? Yeah. But I wasn't out there kicking down doors or doing force recon or anything like that, anything spectacular. I was doing grunt work, like heavy lifting. I pick things up and I put them down. Like, so me saying I was in the military means nothing. Like, I mean, it means something to me, but in the essence and aspect of training, it doesn't mean anything. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
I just wanted to throw that out there, you know?
Yeah, and even going back, and as like I said, as we wrap up, we got about 13 minutes before we wrap up. I'll go to the list, and I can put it in the chat room. Again, Michelle Tigner, Marshall Davis, because she's married and she's living her best life. She does this, if I'm not mistaken, her sister's keeper at one point was a nationwide aspect. I know she does it in Georgia. But by all means, check out her website, mysisterskeeperdefense.com, and you're welcome to check it out. But her thing is, she says, one, what certified firearms instructor courses have they completed? You have the right to ask them. You can ask them for their instructor number. Again, for me being with the National Rifle Association, I have an instructor number. It's on my business card. When I post flyers, for the internet or talk about putting it on my calendar, that information is available. I'm also a certified CPR, AED, advanced bleed, and BLS. I got a long list, man. BLS and wilderness survival, wilderness first aid. That all of those instructor numbers are available to you to vet for you to look at. And with the National Rifle Association, you put my instructor number in, it will show you pistol instructor, chief range safety officer. I'm also certified in, I'm an instructor for active shooter training. So, you know, my list is there, and you're welcome to check that out. She also suggests, you know, ask what other firearms related experience do you have? You can also ask what is the most recent and user course, you've taken. So that's what Will was talking about before, asking what kind of courses you've taken before. As do you have a firearms liability insurance? Has anyone ever gotten injured while under your instruction? You don't want, and there are videos out there of instructors who have had a misfire, negligent discharge, and they're like, yeah, this is what you don't want to do. They try to cover it up. But you want to make sure that they have insurance. The insurance covers if someone should get hurt while giving instruction, they're able to cover themselves, and they hopefully they say yes. Now, I do want to provide the caveat. It is not a requirement for an instructor to have insurance. Do you want them to have insurance? Yes. You would hopefully like for them to have insurance. It is not. Most states do not require it. But you can always check the state laws. Do you have a lesson plan for this class? Hopefully they say yes. Hopefully they're not winging it. They're not someone like we've been talking about coming out of the military or law enforcement, and they've made up their own class now, and that they are just winging it off the top of their head, telling you what they did when they were a little kid, showing you lessons how to shoot a firearm off your forehead, and you know, shoot a shotgun off your forehead, because that's what they did when they learned how to do it, because their drunk uncle taught them to do it when he was 12 years old. That's not what we need. You want most instructors, you finish a course, they you're provided with a lesson plan. You can modify lesson plans as time goes on, as long as you meet, if it's a required course that from the state, especially for concealed carry, you want to make sure that course meets all the requirements. They have to follow a lesson plan. There's certain aspects of the course that have to be met in order for you to receive your your concealed carry. She also suggests, where can I see reviews from your previous students? Most times we have websites, or they can give you reference numbers to talk to people who've taken your course. What other certified firearm instructors can you vouch for you? It's a tight community, especially with black firearm instructors. We're starting to get to know one another a little better, and we can have that rapport. And like I said, I prefer to suggest people that I feel comfortable with. How long have you been teaching firearms classes? You have the right to ask. How long have you been shooting firearms? Let me see if I can read. How have you ever had your firearm in a real life scenario outside of your role as the military, law enforcement, armed security, and why? So some people will have that story. If it sounds a lot like John Wick or John Rambo, it might be that they're borrowing that story. I don't know. Is your business legitimate? I will say a lot of firearm instructors just starting out may not have a legitimate business as far as creating the LLC. They may be certified instructors, and they may be just starting out. So sometimes it really depends on what you know about that person and how well you've done it. Like I said, you're asking them questions about how long they've shot, how long they've been shooting. I've been shooting well over 20 years. I got more involved with it as I got a little older. How long have I been an instructor? I've been an instructor for 2.5 years. So, you know, it's not a hard thing. Like I said, you can easily vet a person. Let me see. Can you perform all of the tasks you will ask me to perform during a class? That's the last question. They should be able. And here's my thing with this. If you practice on a regular basis, you're going to see them do it. A lot of instructors don't necessarily do it all the time, because a lot of students feel as though they have to keep up with the instructor. But the instructor should be able to complete the task that they're asking you to do. They should at some points be able to demonstrate what you're doing if you ask them to. So those are the things that she suggests on that website. So as we start to wrap up and put everything together, hopefully we gave you some good advice. Hopefully I didn't talk you to death. But as we close this out, I want to give a couple of minutes to Will, let everybody hear from this young gunslinger. I'm the old gunslinger, if you didn't know. I'm the old gunslinger. I walk around with that little cowboy limp. I carry that leg, and I chew a little bit of tobacco. Not really. No, I don't. Will, as we close out, Will, you got any last words you want to throw out? We got about 5 minutes left.
Man, I'm over here trying to pick you as a cowboy, man.
Nah, man, don't do it. Don't do it.
But no, seriously, last word. No, that's not what I want to say.
Any last words, Will?
Right. But no, in all seriousness, get training. That's my mantra. Go get trained. Like, get training. It doesn't even have to be training that breaks the bank. You don't have to put a hole in your pockets to get training. You know what I mean? Like, I took this training class, and it's normally $100, but because I'm an email subscriber, I got it for like 25% off. So guns are my thing. Mm-hmm. Math is not. I think it was like $75. But so, and I would have happily paid the $100, but I saw it for $75. So I'm like, why not? So, and I got a lot out of the training. You know what I mean? You don't mm-hmm. have to break the bank for training. I didn't recommend it, but the laser cartridge, Pink Rhino laser cartridge, you can find it on Amazon. It cost me about $40, but it pays for itself when you think about training your sight picture, sight alignment, your trigger press, stuff like that, without using ammo. You think a box of ammo mm-hmm. right now, if you can find it at Academy, about $10 for a box of 50 rounds, right? So mm-hmm. you got to do that about 4 times. But if you get the laser cartridge, that $40 is already paid for itself. The laser cartridge has already paid for itself. So practice, practice, practice. Like, if it's just dry fire, care what it is, practice. Yeah. So that's my last thing.
Oh, okay. Cool. You're right. Practice. On a regular basis, practice with, you know, even if you have a training buddy who you like to go to the range, go to the range and do all of that. So before, as we close out, if you're ever in Texas and you're in the Dallas, what is it, DFW, Dallas-Fort Worth area,
yep.
and you want to
yep.
go to – Will's the guy to see for, you know, eventually he's going to be talking about his training classes coming up soon, but if you're interested in participating with him, working out with him sometime, because there's nothing wrong with working out with a person. He's perfectly okay to give you some level of instruction and get some helpful tips. But if you're looking for a gun club, check him out. Will, you want to tell him about your gun club?
Oh, yep. I am the president of the Dallas chapter of NAGA, the Henry Johnson Gun Club. We actually have a range day coming up on October 3rd, so stay tuned for the flyer for that. I'll be posting that soon. So, yeah, if you're in Dallas, look me up.
Yeah, I might have to make my way. I'm in Mississippi, but I might have to make my way to Dallas and see if I can make that range day. We shall see. But if you're interested in taking courses with me, you can find me in Mississippi. I do travel depending on what you're looking for. I don't provide concealed carry courses in other states, but I do provide pistol courses. You know, I can't provide you with the basic pistol courses. I also do, like I said, CPR, first aid, AED, basic life support, and I do travel. Hopefully we'll be on the road traveling with different instructors and doing some other things. But again, thank you, everyone, for tuning in and being a part of tonight's show. We are very grateful, and as we move forward, just look for us to start streaming these videos, making this a video, and you can see what we're talking about and illustrating. The Gunslinger will be hitting the YouTube street soon. So having said all of that, you know, that's our time for tonight. And again, thank you for joining us. Thank you, Will, for sitting in with me. I think we've said it, and I think that, like I said, it's going to be our mantra from now on, or our closeout phrase and intro. And I just want to know, you know, so you want to be a gunslinger? Get trained. Thank you all for participating tonight. Have a good night, and we will see you next week. Peace.